Welcome to another edition of Save Your Money, Save Your Teeth. And it's Ian with you, as always, joined by Dr. Clifford Udelman from OptiSmile. Now, if you have ever sat in a dental chair while somebody called out numbers over your head, you will know the feeling. 3235. It sounds like a code, and nobody stops to tell you what it means. Well, those numbers are one of the most useful pieces of information in dentistry, and they are almost never explained. So today we are going to decode them, what they actually measure, which ones matter, and which ones can be reversed. And now we'll finally understand it after today's episode. Another great insightful one awaiting us. Dr. Udelman, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back, and really looking forward to today's episode, because this is something that should be done commonly if you're seeing a hygienist, and if it's not the hygienist, then the dentist. And we won't go too deep today. Excuse the pun.
Yeah. Okay.
Know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. But Dr. Udelman, so when the hygienist calls out the numbers, I thought it was something to do with maybe the bull or something. So they go 3235. What exactly does it mean? Are they actually measuring something?
Yeah, so we're measuring the depth. You know, if you imagine like your sleeve is your gum, if you got like a jacket on or a long sleeve shirt, and that your wrist or your arm is your tooth, and if you put your finger between your sleeve and your arm, and imagine the first little joint on your finger is 1 millimeter, and the next joint is 2 millimeters, and then if your finger's going all the way into your jacket or your shirt, that's 3 millimeters. That's how a periodontal probe works. So the probe is a thin little probe. It's not a pointy one, and it's blunt. In fact, sometimes some probes have even got a little bullocky or a little ball, if you're not from South Africa, on the end. And then it's got different millimeter markings. Sometimes the first 3 millimeters is marked off, and then the next 2 millimeters, and so on. Sometimes it's a yellow plastic probe, and it's color-coded with red and blue and green. But this basically goes gently into the space between the tooth and the gum, which scientifically or in the medical terminology, we call that the sulcus. And the sulcus or gingival crevice is another word. We push it in until it stops. And it can be a little bit uncomfortable, but basically it stops at a certain point, and then we read off. So healthy is 1, 2, or 3 millimeters, which tells me or your hygienist that the cuff of gum or the your sleeve is tight against your hand, or your gum is tighter against your tooth, and it's very snug and it's sealing. That's not all that we do when we're measuring, but that's the main thing. We'll come. I don't want to jump the gun like I normally do, but basically there's 6 readings per tooth, around 180 readings in a full mouth. And, you know, that's why it sounds like someone's playing bingo, calling it out above your head.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. And the numbers, those numbers, yeah, bingo. The numbers are a map. And the map is actually tells the dentist where there are pockets. And basically, you know, if you've got a 4 or a 5, which we'll get into, that's completely reversible. So as I said, I don't want to jump the gun. We've got lots of questions, and I think you're going to be asking them now. So let's go ahead.
Yeah, I want to ask you, what is a periodontal pocket and how does it form?
Yeah, so peri or perio, like a perimeter, it means around, and dontal means the tooth. Gums, we talk about a gum specialist, that's a periodontist. And then a pocket is when the gum loses its grip and you get inflammation that makes your gums a little bit swollen and they loosen up from the tooth. Imagine you got a knitted sweater on, and now the sleeve has gone all loose and it's kind of baggy, and you can stick your whole hand, you know, into your sleeve. that when it starts detaching, and it leaves a deeper space where the bacteria can live and be undisturbed. The brush can't reach into those pockets. And these pockets, they don't appear overnight. Nobody wakes up with a 6-millimeter pocket. It takes months and years of inflammation that has gone uninterrupted, which means that there's a long window, there's a long window where this is still reversible. And, you know, gum disease is quiet, and that's its whole trick. That's how it sneaks up on you. By the time your gum hurts, you would have usually lost bone, and bone doesn't grow back on request. And, you know, if you've got a patient who's got bleeding gums but no pain, and they every time they brush, they get the pink in the sink, or the pink in the basin, as we call it, for about 2 years, you know, and there's no pain, they see bleeding, they spit out, they think, well, nothing's going on, it's not hurting, and they think it's normal. And that's the kind of patient that will eventually, you know, get a 6 and 7 millimeter pocket, which means that the bone is now being eaten away.
In the measurements, would 4 be a warning sign and 6 a disaster?
Oh, I like the way you put it. So let's look at like a robot, as we call it in South Africa, traffic light. So a 4 is a yellow light. You know, if you're in South Africa, you just gun it and run it before it turns red.
Yes.
Not kidding. I was just in the States recently, and in the States, people are a lot more cautious about their gum health, and they start getting paranoid when they've got a 4, and sometimes it gets overdiagnosed in America, where they tell you that you need deep cleaning and gum, you know, scaling and root planing, even if you've got 4s or bleeding. But basically a 4 is a yellow light, not a red one. It's inflammation, and a good cleaning that area where the bleeding is coming from. We spoke about interdental cleaning using floss and little brushes and water picks and which ones work best. I think that was 2 episodes ago. Most of the 4s come back down to 3s. Also, last time we spoke about plaque disclosing agents or dyes, these pink or purple tablets. That's a very good way to get a 4 healthy. You just brush where the plaque is. But now 6 is a different conversation. The bone support may already be compromised and it needs attention. You know, you need to see the dentist. If a dentist tells you you got 5 or 6 areas that are a 6 or more, that's actually something to worry about. If you've got a single 6, maybe you got a food trap there, or the filling has got an overhang, you know, that's catching food. Often it's a restorative. If it's individual one, it's something like what I just mentioned. You just got to get that problem treated and then keep it clean, and it will actually help you out. So from a cost point of view, because we're about saving your money and saving your teeth, treating 4s with good oral hygiene and a cleaning every 4 to 6 months. If you're going every 6 months and you still have bleeding, then maybe you need to ask your hygienist if you should come every 3 or 4 months, if you're not doing a great job with your cleaning, with your own cleaning at home. But if so that will save thousands. But if you ignore 6s, it's going to cost you thousands, either thousands of rands or thousands of dollars. I was just in the US, as I said, and a quadrant of root planing, a deep cleaning, they charge $1,000, and you need usually all 4 quadrants done. So, that's a lot of money. The numbers are also, you know, so the response is proportionate. So you mustn't panic. And, you know, like I said, 1-6 around a badly contoured crown and everything else is a 2 or 3, you know, that's a plumbing problem on 1 tooth. That's not gum disease.
Exactly. But when you say probing sounds like it hurts. Does probing actually hurt? And if it does, what does it tell us?
Yeah, look, it can. Healthy gums barely feel it. So if your gums are healthy and the hygienist or myself or another dentist are poking around your gums and doing, if we do something called a BPE, which is more like a periodontal screening, is we poke around, you know, six places on each tooth, but we don't record all of them, and we just record the deepest one, and we see if there's bleeding or pus And if your gums are healthy, that probing doesn't take very long. You're just sort of checking, you know, checking under the cuff there, just checking if the shirt is tight or not tight. You're not actually jabbing anything deep down. Yeah, if your gum does hurt a bit, that's actually your inflammation. That's your own gums telling you that there's an issue. And inflamed gums are tender and they bleed because they're quite swollen and they've gone fragile. We only use about 20 grams of force, which is the same amount of pressure if you just touch on your eyelid. You know, you're not going to handle too much pressure. And the answer is not to avoid the appointment. Afterwards, ask a hygienist or dentist to point out the areas where it hurts. You might even still see a little bit of bleeding in those areas. Ask to look in the mirror. You know, pain during probing is a map of where your flossing and your little brushes and your cleaning technique are not working properly. You can even ask the hygienist or dentist to make a little map for you and show you where those areas are, or to give you a copy of your periodontal charting. And, you know, when a patient jumps or flinches during a periodontal probing, they blame the dentist or the hygienist because the probe went in, the gum bled, and therefore, you know, the hygienist or dentist is being rough and made your gum bleed. But in fact, it wasn't because of that, because you can't actually make a healthy gum bleed at that pressure. The bleeding and the discomfort is because you're not cleaning there properly, or you let it go too far. I give it to you that there are some hygienists or dentists that are somewhat sadistic, and they might overdo that in a way to make you floss better before the next appointment. But we don't believe in that type of negative reinforcement. But I'm sure I've heard lots of stories of that. Like, does that hurt? No. What about that?
You see, I'll clap that person.
We shouldn't laugh. But I mean, it doesn't happen at our practice. But when I hear about someone, you know, down the road or someone coming from that's moved down here from overseas or Johannesburg, and they talk about the hygienist or dentist had a little glint in their eye when they were probing their gums, you know, you got to believe what the patient tells you.
Yeah, they shouldn't try that with me. Hey, I'll pinch something.
Exactly.
Okay, so what does it mean if there is actually bleeding during the probing?
Yeah, so we covered that a little bit, but it means that there's inflammation in a nutshell. Healthy gums don't bleed when it's touched gently, as I said. You know, there's a belief out there by some people that they just have bleeding gums. No, I've got bleeding gums, but there's no such thing. Or sensitive gums. You know, if your hands bled every time you washed them, you wouldn't conclude that you had sensitive hands, now would you?
Oh, that's hilarious. Imagine.
You know, and that's one of the strongest predictors that we have. And it's the earliest, long before the pockets deepen, or years before anything appears on x-ray. So if there's blood in the basin or pink in the sink, don't brush around it and more gently. That area needs more cleaning. And, you know, it actually doesn't take long for it to get better. 2 or 3 weeks of cleaning properly, and people come back and we check, and their gums that have been so-called sensitive their whole life are now better, and they don't bleed.
Now, that's interesting. Okay. And why do smokers often have good numbers, but they still have gum disease, doctor?
Yeah, you know, that one catches patients out, and it also catches dentists out too. Smoking and also vaping, I've seen. So smoking and vaping, the nicotine constricts the blood vessels in the gums, and there's less blood flow, less bleeding, less visible swelling, and the gums look nice and tidy, and the warning system has been switched off, and the smoking impairs healing. And then you take an x-ray, and then you see, oh, there's a lot of bone loss. And then you go back. That's why you've got to probe the patients. You can't just go on looks alone, especially on smokers. The upper molars, like the palate, can look nice and tight. There's no recession. There's no bleeding. And the gum is tight against the tooth, and you gently poke underneath there. Say you've seen a pocket on a bone loss on an x-ray. and there's nothing. And then the probe just sinks in. Sometimes this happened to me literally about a month ago. I had a patient. I couldn't smell cigarettes on her. She didn't look like a smoker. And she had all of this type of issue. She'd been getting cleanings in the UK, and the dentist kept telling her her gums were healthy and there was nothing wrong. And to me, they looked healthy. And then we poked around a little bit, but with a smoker like that, well, no, it turns out she was a very, very heavy vapor, and she was sort of holding that. She wasn't telling me when I said, do you smoke? No, I don't smoke. But I didn't say, do you smoke or vape? So once you get caught out, then you know to ask it. And you pop the probe and it just sinks down, no pain. It goes in, I'm not kidding, 6 or 7 millimeters. That's a long way. And when you take the probe out, there's no bleeding. And then you poke along there and then you see all this bone loss. So I think if you do smoke or you vape, you need to go back and listen to the podcast about vaping and smoking, because that's where it's worst is for your gums. And yeah, so when you don't see bleeding like that, that's not healthy. That was suppression.
Dr. Uniman, how do these numbers relate to the bone loss that we see on the x-rays?
Probing, tells me about soft tissue. The x-ray tells me about the bone. So, these are different things that we need to look at. You do need both. Think of the tooth as a fence post. The probe tells me how loose the soil is at the top, but the x-ray tells me how much soil is left holding the post upright. And the probing picks up things first. Deep pockets with an x-ray that still looks fine means the disease has not gone into the bone yet and that you're still in the reversible phase. If you wait until the x-ray looks wrong, then you've waited too long. So basically you do need both. And like I said, with smokers, sometimes the gums look perfect and all of the damage is underneath and you only see that on an x-ray.
Okay. And can a deep pocket actually shrink back down to a healthy number without surgery?
Yes, 100%. And actually that is what often happens. Pockets reduce, particularly where the bone has not gone yet. So the first thing is, say you stop brushing one particular area in, say, as an experiment, or you don't floss one particular area. As the plaque gets under the gum and the gum gets swollen, the bone might stay where it is and your gum will swell up. And so the gum is growing up above the tooth. So it can swell up to where it's 4 or 5 millimeters. But the bottom of the pocket is where it always has been. Whereas if the gum is firm against the tooth and the probe goes in, then that often will correlate with bone loss, and then the gum won't shrink. But basically the pockets, the gum is a living tissue. And if you remove the irritation, which is often tartar, but sometimes it can be an overhanging filling or a bad crown, the inflammation settles. And the tissue tightens back against the tooth, and the fours become threes. And, it's when the plaque actually keeps going and going. Brushing alone will only get about 3/5 of each tooth surface. The rest is in between the teeth, and that's where most of the pockets happen. And once there's a lot of bone loss, then we're just managing it. We're not curing it. There are surgeries and patients go for surgery and get bone grafts, and it gets very expensive and it means having surgery. We won't get into the details of that now. This is mainly about the measuring.
And doctor, let's say you have these deep pockets. Does it definitely mean that you will lose your teeth?
So, one thing when we do these pocket measurements, which we haven't covered, is we not only measure the actual pocket, how deep the probe goes in, we also go back and look if there was any bleeding, and we record all of the bleeding points, and we also record what's called suppuration, where we record all of the areas that have any pus coming out of them, so different degrees of severity. We also record bone loss in between the roots, because that's not a good thing. Like on a molar, you've got, it's called a furcation. So on a lower molar, there's two roots. And if the probe goes in between those two roots, you get a grade 1, 2, or grade 3 furcation lesion or furcation. And on the upper molars, you've got three roots. So there's three areas that there's different furcations that you can measure. The other thing on a good periodontal exam, aside from pocket measurement, is we measure mobility. So there's grade one, grade two, and grade three mobility. Grade one is where the tooth is a little bit jiggly, just noticeable. Grade two is where it's quite noticeable. And grade three is where you feel like you can almost pull it out with your fingers. And sometimes a patient can have grade three mobility with a huge amount of recession. So recession is another thing that we measure. So you can have a 3 millimeter pocket, but 6 millimeters of recession, and there's only 2 millimeters of bone holding the tooth in. So these are things I wanted to throw in at the end in case we missed out on it. So your question was, if I have deep pockets, will I definitely lose my teeth? Sometimes it's the other way around. So you need a full periodontal exam, not just a quick little probing if there are issues noticed, because all of these things add up. You can tell actually a periodontal probing, which if it's done properly, is a very good service, and a lot of the time it's not charged for, which in America, for a full periodontal probing, you can pay. It can take quite a long time. At Optismile, we have a voice. I programmed my own voice periodontal charting program, so the hygienist can record a whole chart and make diagrams and get a full chart, like I just mentioned, in maybe 5 minutes, just with her voice. She just whips through and calls all of that out. It's not just about the pockets. You need to be sure that the dentist or hygienist is doing a full periodontal examination.
And doctor, why is this gum map so important for saving money on future surgery? Just our last question for today.
Because it turns guesswork into a strategy or a plan, and it's the guesswork that costs people money in the long term. You know, with a chart in front of us, we can compare today against a year ago or 2 years ago, if it's improving, if it's stable, if it's worse. And if the numbers are coming down, then we give you lots of encouragement. If one region crept up, then we treat that region and nothing else. And, you know, without a chart, everything else is reactive, and reactive dentistry is nearly always more dentistry than what the patient needed in the first place. This is code discovery. The moment somebody sees their own map or chart, they stop being sold something and they start making a decision. And, you know, over a lifetime of having your teeth that you still have in your 70s, and surgery that you never had to pay for. And, you know, my dad practiced as a general dentist, but specialized in periodontics. And he practiced for 57 years. And he used to do a lot of this conservative scaling and root planing and periodontal probing. In fact, he lectured at the university for 27 years. He taught the postgrads how to do all of this. And he was actually a general dentist, but he went to the US in 1968, and he learned all about it from a few universities that were doing it. And he and another periodontist came back to South Africa. The other guy specialized in periodontics, but my dad taught periodontics, but actually still practiced as a general dentist. So, you know, it doesn't take a specialist to probe your teeth. Every hygienist on earth should know how to do it, as well as every dentist.
And that's it for another edition of Save Your Money, Save Your Teeth. Dr. Udelman, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me, and looking forward to speaking to you next week.
Absolutely. And I think if there's one thing to take away today, it is that your gum numbers are a map, not a verdict. A 4 is the yellow light, 6 needs attention. Neither of them is a sentence. So the next time somebody calls out numbers over your head, ask what they mean and ask whether they are better or worse than the last time. Until next time, look after your teeth and they'll look after you.
Discover the world of dental excellence with OptiSmile. Join us for a weekly podcast featuring Dr. Clifford Udelman, a seasoned expert with 40 years of dental experience across four continents. Gain unique insights and expert dental advice by visiting optismile.co.za for articles that illuminate the path to optimal oral health. If you're seeking unparalleled dental care in Cape Town, get in touch with OptiSmile or book directly online on optismile.co.za. OptiSmile, where global expertise meets local care.